Today's episode is brought to you by the Christian Standard Bible, a Bible translation for everyone. The CSB is a translation that's both understandable for the new believer and the lifelong disciple. Whether reading to a child or teaching in your women's ministry, the CSB will be accurate, readable, and shareable. Find out more at csbible.com. We're so thankful for the support of the Christian Standard Bible.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily Jensen here with my sister-in-law, Laura Wiffler.
Hi, friends.
I felt like I needed to reintroduce us with our full names because it's a new year.
Yeah, you
know,
that's
right. It's 2020. I don't know. Yes. Maybe we need to restate our names again.
That's right. If you guys are new here, we want to welcome you back to a fresh season of Risen Motherhood. It's always fun, the beginning of a year, kind of setting things new in place and getting to do new fun things. So we have a whole season of all sorts of awesome stuff planned for you guys. So we hope you'll stick around. We'll be running the show every week through May.
Yes. And real quick, in case, again, if you're a little bit newer here, welcome, first of all. But also, if you want to know how we are kind of undergirding our thinking, how we are processing through topics, kind of the structure and the thinking behind what we do, you might want to check out the book that we wrote. It released September 3rd, 2019, so a few months back, but it's just called Risen Motherhood, Gospel Hope for Everyday Moments. And in that book, we really talk about the framework of the gospel and how it impacts and changes the way that we think about everything in our lives.
Yeah. So if you want to grow in this skill or kind of do what we're doing here today, we encourage you to check out that book. It's available anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble,
ChristianBook.com.
ChristianBook.com. And head to risenmotherhood.com/book and you will find all the info.
All the
info you could ever want.
All right. Speaking of tech,
I'm excited for today's show.
Yeah. So, okay, let's talk about social media.
Yeah.
But as we wanted to jump into the topic of social media, we want to like zoom back a little bit and say, why would we address this topic? It kind of feels like, ooh, are we sure we want to go there? And it really goes back to our heart at Risen Motherhood. We are, you know, Laura and I do this week in and week out because we want to help moms as we are also preaching to ourselves, helping ourselves to be faithful in this big job we have of caring for our children faithfully, passing along the gospel to them. You know, it's just like the main goal of our ministry and all the content we put out. And that is really our big heartbeat and what we try to do in every show.
Right. But as you guys know, one of our main vehicles for getting the message out is using social media. It's using digital content, using phones, computers, all those kind of things. And so talking about that today does feel a little bit like, oh, are we going to shoot ourselves in the foot? But we are excited to tackle it. And I know Emily and I, she kind of referenced this, but we're both, you know, users of social media. We both really enjoy being on it. We find it as a great spot for making friends. We have lots of actually friends that are purely online friends. Mm-hmm. We've never met them in real life, but they have become sweet relationships to us, very real relationships to us. We also find ideas for writing, new resources. I love finding home design and like decor ideas on the internet.
I like finding recipes there sometimes.
Yes, me too. I love those cooking videos. I think I shared my love for those before, but I just love watching those fast action cooking videos forever and always.
Yeah. And it's always fun to keep up with like grandparents or like nieces
family
and nephews,
friends.
Family friends. Like sometimes when my kids are with my parents or in-laws, like I'm not totally sure what they're doing, but then I'll see a picture pop up on social media. It's like, oh, they're out and about.
Yeah, your parents are really good.
They're getting donuts or something.
Posting on that.
Yes, they are. Yeah. And so it always makes for a good conversation later.
Yeah.
So anyways, we just want to say up front that Laura and I both use social media and we have found great benefit there.
Yeah, we really like it.
And have enjoyed it.
Yep.
But what?
So we want to, yeah, we want to kind of kick off the new year. A lot of you guys are probably thinking a little bit about your social media habits probably.
Yes.
And Emily and I have had so many conversations about social media. It's just a very big reality in her and I's life. And then we assume for many, if not all of you guys are thinking about this kind of thing. And actually we came across a recent study from 2019 that said that the average person spends over 2.5 hours a day on social media. So this equates to actually 7 years worth of time over the course of an average lifespan, which is just kind of mind-blowing that you would spend 7 years of your life on social media. That's crazy.
It is mind-blowing. Yeah. And I think when we hear 2.5 hours, the reality is most of us don't realize that we're doing that because it's pockets throughout the day. It's, you know,
10 minutes here,
10 minutes there, 20 minutes there. And you know, when you're looking at your phone and you're scrolling, it can go by so fast.
Yes.
Like I have one of those limit things on my phone, which we'll talk about later, that'll say, oh, I want 15 more minutes. And I'll feel like, wait, where did that 15 minutes ago? I was just scrolling for a couple minutes. But if our ministry goal is to help moms understand and apply God's word and the truth of the gospel to everyday life, then at some point we have to talk about these stats. The fact that moms that we are spending potentially an average of 2.5 hours a day just on social media. And we have to start asking questions of that. Like, is this helping us? Is this helping us look to Christ and be faithful? Is this adding positively to our lives? Is it serving us, or are we serving it? Are we using it with, you know, thankfulness or freedom, or have we become enslaved to it and addicted? We really have to ask those questions because it is such a significant thing for our generation.
Yeah. So we want to start off with just asking a question that might seem kind of basic, but we might be also delivering something that you never thought about before. So the question is kind of, is social media really as neutral or benign as we think it is? I think most of us would say, hey, social media in and of itself, it's really just benign. And, you know, that's how often Emily and I think about it, that it's neither good nor bad. It's just this modern tool, gives us information. Mm-hmm. It's just like the radio or the TV or whatever. And in many ways, we think that is really, really true. Mm-hmm. Because when we get on Instagram or Facebook or whatever on social media, no one's, you know, trying to make us do really bad things, or generally, probably not trying to make you do bad things. But instead, you're using it in a way of, hey, let's post pictures of my kids. I'm going to post my meal, what I'm doing, a trip that I've taken, stuff like that. But I think as Emily and I have done a lot more research, we're both growing more and more. We're both thinking more about the idea, I guess, of seeing that the creators of social media don't necessarily mean it for it to be this total neutral influence in our lives. They actually really want us to use it all of the time, use it a lot, and they want it to gain a lot of ground in our lives to impact our purchasing decisions, our beliefs, our attitudes, our actions. And so I think that this is something that just needs to be talked about. Like, we want to kind of bring it to the surface today, talk about what is kind of really behind social media, but not just social media, like all apps on our phones, probably a broader, maybe we should use a broader term here of apps.
Yeah. And one thing that's helped me think about this is just the fact that these are businesses.
Yeah.
And you know, a business has a goal and an end, and that end goal for them, the true customer of social media, is really the advertisers, right? The moms with the profiles who are posting pictures of their kids are not the customers. We are the users of that.
And they're actually what's being sold.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
we're being sold in the end to the advertisers.
Yes.
So keep going.
So no, that's so good. And so what that means is that the creators of social media and the true customers of social media, I mean, I don't want to like put motives on them, but they don't care if we spend a ton of time on our phone. They actually want us to stay on social media. They want us to click on things. They want us to buy things. They want us to get sucked in. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what that looks like. But that was just a really helpful realization to me of actually the people behind this app want me to spend a ton of time on here.
That's right. Em and I recently read this book called How to Break Up with Your Phone by Katherine Price. We'll link it in the show notes. It's not a Christian resource, but it is fascinating.
Yes.
And she calls this engagement, she refers to it as the currency of attention. So as Emily was saying, basically social media apps are after more and more of your attention, because then they can turn around and they can sell it. They can make a revenue, they can make profit from the advertisers. And so what they want you to do is, instead of, you know, living life, they want you to pick up your phone and get on it and be interactive with it. And so this is where, too, some of the research just gets crazy. And we would encourage you, I think we'll link a few things in show notes, but there are lots of books about this now. More and more research is being done. So we're not going to be able to cover the gamut or explain everything. But I think that it's important to just see that a lot of these things, social media apps or just any interactive app, they're designed with the purpose of addicting you. And this is where things kind of get a little bit crazy.
Wah, wah, wah. Yeah, it is interesting. So basically the way it works is that apps are designed to give you a hit of dopamine. And dopamine is that brain chemical that does a lot of things, but mostly it makes us feel excited and happy. It's like a little reward in our brain. And so they have designed the apps in such a way that gives us a dopamine hit at just the right time that makes us feel addicted to it. It makes us want to keep coming back. And there's another thing that happens on social media called intermittent reward. So that is like, oh, I don't know if I check like what I'm going to find there. Sometimes I'm going to find messages. Sometimes I'm not. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm going to find likes. Sometimes I'm not. And that not knowing actually causes us to check constantly. Mm-hmm. It's something our brain is wired to do. And speaking of brain wiring, there is something in kind of this app design called brain hacking. And basically, there are interviews and research that shows social media creators have actually teamed up with neuroscientists to understand how they can rewire our brains and our habits so that we will want to spend more time on the app. So they are like actually on the offensive trying to figure out how they can make us do this more.
Yeah. We want to be clear here too that like they're probably very nice people on the other end. They're probably totally. Entirely unevil, right? But
it's a business.
It's a business. And it doesn't mean that they're wrong to try to do their job to try to get us to use our phones more. So we don't want to make that out or have that be the main point. The point here is that in general, these apps are being created to addict you with that purpose of trying to get you to use them more and more. And actually, as you use them, and not just an app, but your phone entirely, your brain is actually changing. There are very, very real studies out there that are showing that the chemistry and the makeup of your brain is changing. Actually, a lot of studies that are showing now that it's increasing mental illness. You know, mental illness is majorly on the rise, and numerous studies have started to show a negative impact on our health, our sleep, activity, and then, of course, mental health, as I mentioned. And so I think that these are very real things to understand. For me, I've read a lot of books about, you know, not using my phone, lessening my phone usage, and I was saying to Emily just the other day, I was like, you know, a lot of those things, they're great. Like, okay, of course I want to be more present with my family. Of course I want to pray more instead of be on social media. But I think when I started to understand how my brain is actually changing with more and more use on my phone, it was the first time for me that I felt like, oh, this is a little more scary than what I thought. And I don't want that to happen because it's changing how much we can focus on things, what our attention span is. It's making you multitask significantly more. And I think a lot of studies have even shown that multitasking is not even real or doesn't work, you know, things like that. But that for me was very motivating of realizing that I want to be able to focus on a task and I want to be able to have good attention span towards something. I want to be able to think clearly and realizing kind of the effects of what this type of technology is having on my brain has been probably the number one thing that's made me want to change my habits.
Exactly. And in the broader context of the conversation that we're having today, a lot of us are saying, no, we want to be able to focus on the calling and the task God has given us. And we want to be able to work hard unto him. And we want to be able to serve well. And we want to be able to love well. And when we are distracted, when we can't focus and we're struggling and our brain is being rewired in this way, it can make it more challenging for us to love others well and fulfill our calling. And that's the main reason why we are concerned about this.
The other day, a couple weeks ago, I went to a mall for the first time in many years. And my husband and I took my children. My children were like, Mom, what is this place? I was like, oh, yeah, you probably haven't been to a mall before.
I don't think our kids know what a mall is really either.
They were amazed. But it was so funny because after we got done a couple hours of shopping, we had some returns to do of things I had ordered online, of course. And after we got in the car, I said to Mike, oh, I just feel so gross because I feel like I just wanted everything in the mall. Like I just wanted to buy all these things. I found all these new things that I never knew I wanted, never knew I needed. And suddenly all I could do was just feel all of these feelings of needing to buy things. And it was interesting because I had been to a mall before. I understand how malls work. But I think because I had spent so many years away from a mall, for the first time, I sort of realized what it's actually like in there. You know, there are often not many windows. Everything is kind of pushing you to buy things, from the models to the salespeople to the signs flashing about the sales that they're having and the great deals that you can get, to having food available in bathrooms and you never need to leave. I started to realize, oh my goodness, everything in here is designed to make me purchase things. And that's very much how social media is, that I think that when we go in there, we don't notice it. We're all so used to it. Like, we're not surprised by it anymore. We don't feel the feelings. But social media is designed to say, click this, go here, keep scrolling.
FOMO, fear of missing out. Look at what your friends are doing.
Exactly. It's totally designed in a way to like create these feelings. And so when you enter a mall, you shouldn't be surprised if you want to purchase something, right? Like, of course, that's probably going to happen. If you enter a mall, you're going to want something. Well, same with social media. Yeah. Like, we should not be surprised if we feel jealous or envy or like FOMO, like Emily's saying, on social media, because that's in many ways what it's designed to do. Everything is pointing to that. And so I think when we take some steps away from social media and start to view it as it really is, we can go in not thinking, oh, okay, like this is not going to affect me at all. But instead, in some ways, be prepared for battle. Be prepared to fight the fact that you're going to want to buy something.
Yeah. So to kind of sum that up, which I love that analogy, Laura, I think what we're trying to say is, you know, social media is not the source of our sin, but it is certainly an environment that just nurtures it. And it kind of says, oh yeah, come here, act on that.
Yes,
or use me to numb your sad emotions with the hits of dopamine, or escape the pressure in your everyday lives. You know, it makes...
Are you guys all going to hear Emily's voice in your head next time you're socializing? She's starting to get her movie voice.
Temptation.
Her movie voice is on.
You can't see too. I'm kind of like moving my arms in like this spooky way. Okay. So the question, is it neutral? We think it's risky. We think that it can be helpful, but that it has risks. And then if that's true, we want to ask, like, well, are we anticipating and protecting against the temptations that we are going to face on social media? Because just like what we were talking about, that idea of sin makes promises to us. It's got the spooky hands and the deep voice.
The really soft, soothing voice, yes.
And it says, hey, you know, it doesn't care if you spend your life to try to get something. And it is trying to suck you in. It doesn't care if you follow God. Your flesh wants you to chase whatever you think you can find at the end of that. We think that social media can kind of be that way, which means we need to take active steps to mitigate the risks and to protect our hearts.
Right. So there are two main questions that we would encourage all of you guys to ask. We're asking these things ourselves. And the first is frequency. So how much time are we spending looking at and posting on social media? When are we doing this? Are we happy with how much we're doing it? Is this the example that you want to set for your kids? So these are things you probably heard before, but these are very valid and good questions to ask of just how often are you engaging with social media? And then your feed, you know, taking a good hard look and asking, what are you consuming and posting when you're on social media? What do you feel? Filling your heart, your mind, your soul with? Is this content that helps you to love God and to follow Him and enjoy His creation? Or are these things creating discontent and envy and frustration towards the life that God has given you? And so there's going to be a lot of gray areas within these, and Christians are going to make different choices. There's probably boundary lines that we all would say, hey, that's too far on either side. But within that, there are a lot of different choices that a believer can make. So knowing yourself, but then also we would encourage you to do a few different things. I think the first is just set some time limits on the apps. Have some personal boundaries that you're going to be using. And you can do that by, you know, talk to your husband, ask him what he thinks of your social media use. Ask your friends, see what they suggest, what they see you doing, and then get some accountability in that. That would probably be the first and number one thing.
Another thing is to just, I think, feel freedom. This is something I've done more, to take breaks from social media. There could be maybe once a week you take a break, and on Saturday or Sunday or whatever, you just delete the apps from your phone. Maybe every few months you take longer breaks, or once a year you take a month off of social media. There's all different types of breaks. Or if you notice, like, hey, my heart's really struggling right now, guess what? You can delete the apps for a while. You know, most of us, at least in our personal lives, have that freedom to just kind of walk away for a little while if we need to. Another thing that is helpful is this is maybe a bigger investment, but watches and different devices that we can wear that help us get text message and phone call notifications. And you can see the time, you can control a few things, but you don't necessarily have your phone on your body. So you can't check Instagram, you can't check Facebook.
I thought that's a super helpful one. I don't have a watch like that, but I never knew that that would be a benefit of having a watch like that, because you do think, oh, I got to get my babysitter updates, or what if my husband needs me? So that's a good one.
Another thing you can do is just start viewing social media only maybe on your computer browser. I've noticed, like, as I check it on my browser, it's just like a little bit less fun, or like I see like other stuff I need to do too on my computer, or I have maybe like limited time at my computer. So they're just like some built-in protections there. So there's a lot of different options you can do. And a verse we just wanted to kind of pull out for this show is 1 Corinthians 6:12, where Paul says, you know, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And these are the kind of things that we're trying to ask, like, have we been mastered by social media? Is it telling us what to do, or are we telling it what to do? And we are saying, nope, this is how it's going to serve my purposes, and it's going to fit into my life so that I can love God and love others. That's really important to evaluate.
Yeah, I think that, and many of us are not great judges of our own use. Yeah. I was just thinking about myself, and I would have said, oh, I'm not that addicted. And then I started doing some hard looks, and I was like, oh, wow, I think I lean on this a lot more than I thought, or when I started to really dig into those things. So just encourage you to be more honest than a quick flashing thought, but instead to take some time to truly reflect. And I think that all of this wraps up in us asking the question of what's going to matter at the end of our life. And remember that stat we gave at the beginning, the 2.5 hours most people spend on average for social media. I think that it's a real challenge when you start to think about, well, what if I started to give that time to reading the word, to praying, to learning about Christ? Most of that 2.5 hours is broken up into small pieces of time. But what if we spent that time worshiping God, singing a hymn, studying a catechism, reading the word, listening to an audio Bible, and
go for a walk, read a book to your kids.
Yes.
Engage in relationship.
It's a huge amount of time. 2.5 hours is huge. And we all are saying, we don't have enough time. We don't have enough time. I mean, I say this all of the time, but I tracked my hours, and I was actually at 3 hours for my average was, I'm just going to tell everybody. but you know, I what if I took that 3 hours back? And that's not just on social media, it's on all phone use, but still. And I think if we want to be truly equipped for the work that God has given us, then social media is probably not going to do that. It might give us a little bit of encouragement. We admit Risen Motherhood is on there. We hope that it is valuable and helpful to you. And we hope that it does encourage you when you interact with it. But we also think that it doesn't have power towards moving you towards holiness. And that is only the work of God and His Spirit as He applies the word of Christ to our hearts. And so we want to just encourage you to remember what really matters in all of this. And what are you growing towards? What are you moving towards? And how is the time that you spend each and every day, the little pockets, the big chunks of time, how are those things growing you into Christ-likeness? And to truly take a good look at that.
Yeah. So again, we are not trying to give anybody a big guilt trip. We actually think that it's important that Christians are present on social media and that we are bringing the gospel to as many people as we can influence all over the world, whether that's directly, kind of like what we're trying to do at Risen Motherhood, or it's indirectly. Like, you are a business owner who is a Christian. You are, you know, just a mom and a friend and somebody who is a Christian that is sharing content that is glorifying Christ in the way that you speak, in the way that you're showing self-control. Like, I've even think that is this incredible example for the world of, wow, there's somebody who's on social media who's using it, but it looks like she's still joyful and peaceful, and it's not in control of her life. So it's good. Christians being on social media can be really, really good. But this is always a great time, the new year, to reevaluate our habits and slowly make small changes with accountability and prayer and the word of God to say, how can we make the best use of the very little time we have on earth?
And if you want a little bit more, we're going to have a lot of stuff in our show notes, but a few main books come to the surface for us are The TechWise Family, 10 Ways Your Phone is Changing You, Competing Spectacles, and How to Break Up with Your Phone. So those would be some that we would recommend you checking out if you want to learn more. And of course, you can find our show notes over at risenmotherhood.com. Click on the podcast button and you'll find them there. In addition, follow us on social media.
Find us on social media.
We're at Risen Motherhood on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. But don't interact too much. Only what you kind of feel. We hope you guys have a great day. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.